You're listening to episode 348 of Women Worldwide. Can you recognize a good versus a bad relationship? And are you free to be yourself in every relationship? My special guest today has a lot to share on this topic, so stay tuned to learn more. Hi, I'm Deirdre Breckenridge. I've spent an entire career helping women to share stories, nurture relationships, grow their brands, but most of all, to find their voices so they can make a difference. Do you feel stuck? Do you want to power up your own voice? Women Worldwide features the stories of passionate women who have navigated big career challenges and some of the toughest changes. These professionals offer deep insights and advice to inspire you and to help you uncover what's holding you back. Let Women Worldwide ignite your passion so you can excel in life. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Women Worldwide. Thank you so much for being here and for showing up. Well, today's episode, I think everybody can relate to. It's relationships and the broken relationships, the relationships that aren't good for us, and finding love in all of the wrong places. I sat down with Venus Castleberg. Venus is a holistic healthcare professional. She's a seasoned entrepreneur and coach, and she's also the author of a new book called Here to Forever, Finally Free to Be Me. And in this episode, Venus shares how you can find this freedom, what a broken relationship looks like, why we keep repeating the bad relationships, what it means to be vulnerable, and how to stay true to yourself, which is so important. Well, rather than me going on and on about Venus, it's time for you to listen in, and Venus is going to share her story and a lot of great advice with you. Venus, welcome. Welcome to Women Worldwide.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Well, I have been looking forward to this conversation. Before we dive in, maybe you could just tell us a little bit about your background and what in the past made you want to write about looking for love in all the wrong places?
Well, probably because that's what I did for a very long time. Yeah, my story is actually my personal journey of really thinking that somehow love and wholeness and feeling okay about myself existed outside of myself. And it was usually looking for a relationship, or even I tried different religions and different spiritual backgrounds, and I've studied 20 different modalities for healing. And so I have a lot of like seeking in my background, like somehow something out there is going to make me feel okay about myself. So
that is so interesting. I think a lot of people do that, looking to the external rather than diving into the internal to learn about yourself. And then you would find things in the right places. So you definitely are somebody who understands from what you've been through the broken relationship. But can you identify maybe for everybody out there listening and watching, is there a relationship that can't be fixed?
Well, I would definitely be looking, every relationship I'd be looking at, are you cutting yourself off to try to make it work? Are you cutting yourself off to be in that relationship? I was one of those people that would much rather have a bad relationship than no relationship. And what I've learned over the years has really just been like a relationship that enhances your life and adds greater to you in your life is one that doesn't ask you to cut yourself off. It doesn't ask you to change. It actually is encompassing and loves all of you. Not just the good parts of you. Also, we all have bad parts. I don't want to call them bad parts, but you know, not great parts.
Something, this ties in exactly with what you were saying about the wholeness that love is. If you're cutting yourself off, is that because you're really not knowing yourself? You're not going deep into who you are. Maybe you can speak to how does somebody find out what is the wholeness of themselves so that love and a broken relationship doesn't cut them off?
Right. That's a great question. So what I did is I took some tools from Access Consciousness called the Five Elements of Intimacy. And if you have the five elements of intimacy with yourself, that's honor, trust, gratitude, vulnerability, and allowance. If you have that with yourself, you essentially have your own back. You like yourself. You know who you are. You support yourself in your choices, and you know that your choices are what's best for you. When you're in a relationship and you're cutting yourself off, all of that stuff starts to go away. You're like, well, you know, let's say you don't even eat fish because you're allergic to it, but you go to a fish restaurant because your partner wants to go to it, but you're actually allergic to fish. That's just a minor example. But that people do really it all the time.
Serious health issue, right? Example. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. But if people do stuff like that all the time, they're like, oh, well, you know, he wants this, so, you know, and I'm okay. Like, I mean, even let's say monogamy is a thing for you. You're like, I'm a monogamous person. I am. And I know I'm myself to be that way. But if I'm with somebody who wants to sleep around, it's like a lot of people make that okay because they're like, well, you know, it's honoring of him. And I'm like, yeah, but what happened to honoring of you?
Everybody has bad relationships.
Yeah.
You start off in life and you certainly don't know who you are when you're a teenager, or even sometimes in your 20s, maybe into your 30s, you might start figuring it out. So you have a bad relationship, it goes sour, you get out of it. But then why would we choose to keep repeating that when we know that it's so unhealthy?
Right. Well, one, we tend to attract what we think we deserve. So if you already have a point of view that you deserve not a great relationship, or you think that somehow you're a bad person innately, that was me. I thought I was innately wrong. So I would attract the people that would validate that point of view I had about myself. So it's like vital to start to change your point of view about yourself. And it's not easy. And I'm not saying it's like you can go in and flip a switch. It does take practice. It does take work. But let's take one of those elements of intimacy, for example, like gratitude. What if every day you found three things that you were grateful for about you? You would start to find things that you like about you. And then that energy is actually what you start to emote or emit. And then you attract that to you because that's the energy that you're being. Because you're like, oh, I like myself. But if you don't like yourself, then you'll attract people that will.
I do believe validate. In the attraction and the energy. Yeah. I remember reading, I don't remember whose book it was. It might have been a Louise Hay book, How You Can Heal Your Life.
Yep.
And there was an exercise in it where you look in the mirror and you say to yourself, I love you, or I love myself. And she wrote in the book how difficult it is to do that. So it just reminded me what you said about finding gratitude, but not gratitude of the material things around you, but what you like in yourself. That's really interesting. Now you have a new book. And we'd love to hear about it. Here to Forever, Finally Free to Be Me. Mm-hmm. Why did you write it? And what did you want your readers to know?
Well, when I first wrote the book, it was kind of like one of those like bucket list things. Hey, I'm going to write a book.
Yes.
I did not know that I was going to write a book about my life and also have a book that changed me. In many ways, one of them being I was willing to just be vulnerable and be out there with whatever had happened in my life, which is lots of ups and downs, ins and outs, abuse, you know, clairvoyance, like things that I didn't necessarily share with the general public. So I wrote it seven years ago. And then it went through a process over 6 years before it was actually published. And that journey, I would honestly say, and I encourage anybody out there that's thinking about writing a book, write a book because it's healing in itself. You'll start to learn things about yourself through even just writing. And it's almost like the universe or God or whatever you believe in actually also invites you to really work through and change the things that you're writing about. It's like we teach what we need to learn. So, right. So yes. Me writing that book really helped me work through and finally break through my relationship patterns. And then once it was written, I was like, wow, I actually get a lot of people struggle with this addiction to relationships and feeling like they need somebody else to feel whole and complete. And what would it be like if we all realized that we were the ones that we were looking for?
So. It sounds like an incredible book. I want to comment. That could be a really scary journey. I've actually had peers say that they want to write a memoir, they want to write a book. But when they start uncovering some of the things from their past, that it's too difficult and they end up putting it aside. How did you, I'm sure with what you mentioned and what you've been through, it was difficult. Was there any time that you reached a point where you had to set it down, walk away? And what did you do to get over that hump? So, well, my friends listening benefit from you.
Awesome. That's a great question. Yeah. So I wrote the book. I wrote the majority of the book, believe it or not, in 2 months. I sat down every day and just wrote. And it was just amazing what came out. It was awesome. And then I sent it to an editor. And that editor told me I needed to rewrite it. So I put it down for probably a couple years, and then I tried to rewrite it, and then I sent it to another editor, and she told me I needed to rewrite it. And then it went through a couple more people, and I finally was about to throw in the towel last year, and I was like, I think maybe it doesn't want to be a book. I don't know. Maybe I don't know how to write a book. And I sent my original copy to a friend of mine who's a ghostwriter. And I said, would you just tell me what you perceive about this book? And she called me 3 days later and she says, I couldn't put it down. I don't read books anymore. I don't have time.
Oh, that's a huge compliment.
Yeah. And she said, she wouldn't change a thing. So my encouragement to people who might be thinking about writing or struggling with it is to just keep going. I get it.
Don't give up.
I get it. Yeah, don't give up. And it will pay out. It may not look the way that you want it to. It may not happen in the timing that you want it to. But if you keep going, there is a tipping point with anything that you're trying to create in your life.
That's really good to know, and that you've said that. I believe that you can submit your book to an editor or different publishers, and rejection is a part of the process. Mm-hmm. You have to have that perseverance and that strong drive and will to keep going.
And maybe even the belief in your message, right?
That's right.
Like if you have that within yourself, nobody can shake you from that. So finding that would be my recommendation. So the back half of the book, the second half of the book, is actually the tools that I use to fall in love with myself. So
it's can a you great share some of those book. Tools? Yeah. Because falling in love with yourself as tools would lead to that relationship freedom that you speak of.
Yeah, absolutely. And the 5 elements of intimacy was where I started. And then having the gratitude for myself, just realizing that I wasn't as messed up as I thought I was, you know.
And was anybody telling you that you were messed up, or was that just something you internalized along the way?
I think it was just a decision that I made after having some not some great things happen when I was younger, kind of like the karma thing. Like, I think at one point I thought that I don't believe in karma now, but at the time I thought, well, maybe, you know, I deserved it somehow, like from another lifetime, or maybe I wasn't a nice person. But it was a series of events, and then eventually I was like, wow, I really think I'm pretty messed up. So, yeah.
Well, you mentioned something before and it keeps popping back into my head. So I have to ask you, you mentioned clairvoyant. And that is being able to visualize something as compared to clairaudient, which is hearing things. Can you maybe comment on that if you don't mind?
Sure. Not at all. So yes, when I turned 30, it's in the book, but when I turned 30, I became a clairvoyant medium pretty much all overnight, which means I can see the spirit realm. I see dead people. I don't see them maimed or, you know, the way they died. That's, that was theatrical. So, it was a secret for a long time because I didn't want to be seen as the crazy lady. I didn't want people to view me that way. And now it's like, I know that I was given every gift in my life for a reason. And, so I don't resist it. I actually don't do a lot with it anymore. I mean, it still pops up, but it's not like I have clients that come in for it all the time. I don't, but yeah.
But it's always a part of you because it's a gift. Mm-hmm. And I believe that there are people who are open to certain energies and messages. You can't kill energy, so it's all around us. And you happen to be one of those people who has a gift. So that's really interesting. What about you? You mentioned vulnerability, and vulnerability definitely builds trust. So maybe for all the people, because we talk about this all the time, when Brene Brown was out there in her TED talk, relationships, you have to be vulnerable. Define vulnerable. What's your definition of vulnerable?
Vulnerability is to be willing to have total allowance for yourself without a point of view, meaning allowance for, you know, how you look, allowance for how you act, allowance for maybe how you handled that particular situation, because everything that you're choosing in your life, you learn from. So you might choose it and be like, okay, I didn't really like how that worked out. So you choose something different. Great example is my first divorce. I had money going into the marriage. When I left, we had a lot of debt. I pretty much left him all the debt and took all the furniture. I was 20 years old, but it wasn't a very kind moment in my life. And it's not one I'm particularly proud of, but it's in the book. So everybody knows. But I really realized at the moment, I didn't want to be that person, right? So yeah, it wasn't a great moment, but I learned what I wanted to be in the world from that choice. So if we're willing to just look at everything that we choose and not judge it as wrong or even right, and just be like, oh, okay, I chose that. Does that actually work for me? And that willingness to just be like, okay, here I am. Everything, warts and all, you know, like, yes. I don't have warts, but you know.
Well, it's a learning experience. Number one, it's a point of contrast, and it's not somewhere to be stuck. We make these choices. We're human. It's permission to be human. When you make a mistake, if you get stuck there, then you don't have that freedom. You don't get to move on and experience all the joy that is around you. So I really do think that allowance is really important. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So thank you. Thank you very much for sharing that. I think that, so you've mentioned a relationship and divorce. I can relate to relationship, divorce, in a new marriage. I say new, even though, gosh, we've been together for 20 years, but there's stress, right? With all these choices we make, with what we see, how we perceive it, how do you handle? So if you're free, if you're feeling free, does that mean there is no stress or there is still stress no matter what?
Well, I mean, life is stressful. I mean, there are just things that happen in life. I mean, just look at what's happening on our planet for the last 2 years. I mean, it's part of life, but you can let it impact you or not. And there are some other tools in access consciousness. One of the main ones being the bars, Access Conscious, the bars, and it's 32 points on the head. My mom likes to call it a brain colonic because it just dumps out the junk. You know, it gets off. It's like deleting the hard drive of your computer, right? So fortunately, my partner and I both know how to do that. So when we're both, one of us is stressed, the other one will say, can I run your bars? And it just, it's like, they've done a scientific study that the bars has the same effect as meditating 10 times. Wow. So if you, and it just takes an hour. So if you can have somebody run your bars, I highly recommend it because it's just a great stress reliever. But you know, there are other tools. You have to find what tool works for you. Meditation could work for some people. So whatever it is, there are things that you can do to help alleviate the stress, which has you then not take it out on your partner. Because it's never really about your partner. It's usually about the, yeah.
It's all inside. I never heard run your bars, but that sounds fascinating. I'm big into meditation. That sets my day. I do it morning. I also do it at night, and it makes for a better day and a better night. Yeah, all in between. Well, how are you, or what can you recommend to people to find this freedom, you know, here to forever, finally to be free? That's your book. But how do you stay true to yourself? So you mentioned what's been going on for the past 2 years. There's a lot around us. How can you stay true to yourself?
That's a great question too. I think the gratitude piece is paramount. Like it can change any point of view that you have in a moment. So judgment and gratitude can't exist in the same space. So if you're judging something, anything going on, stuff going on with the world, stuff going on with your partner, stuff going on with you, your body, if you were to just pause and go, okay, I'm not going to choose judgment, because it's easy to follow the judgment train, is to stop the judgment, see a stop sign, and then ask, what am I grateful for? What am I grateful for about this person? What's right about this situation I'm not getting? What's the beauty underneath it? I mean, if you can look back at even the initial thing of COVID, the first 3 months where everything shut down, well, wasn't that cool that like dolphins were swimming in the canals and that people could see the Himalayas, that, you know, and smog cleared? Like there was a beauty and a gift underneath it, even though it caused a little bit of stress or discomfort, you know? But it's all in how you look at it. You can look at it the glass half full, or you can look at the glass half empty. It's the same. There's just water in a glass.
I think the biggest message that you said right there is always finding the beauty in something. And if we could all do that, it would make such a difference. We'd all feel a lot better.
Yeah.
That is really, really good. I can't even believe that I'm going to ask you for parting advice, Venus. You give a lot of advice. What do you want to say just to round out this episode to all the women worldwide listeners and viewers about healthy, loving relationships?
Well, I'd just like to leave with this encouraging thought. What if you were the one that you've always been looking for? And if you can see your life that way, see you that way, then everybody that comes into your life is an enhancement and an addition, but it doesn't become your end all be all.
That is wonderful words to live by. I hope everybody takes that advice. And last question, super easy. Where can people find out about you, your work, and your book?
Oh, thank you very much. VenusCastleberg.com. And the book is on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all those fun places. So,
well, sounds like a great book. Can people find you on social media? Are you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah. I'm on all the Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn. Yeah.
Venus, thank you so much for sharing about relationships in all the wrong places, but most of all, how to get to this freedom, and knowing yourself so that you can have better relationships. So thank you.
Oh, well, it really was a pleasure and an honor to be here with you today.
Oh, thanks. And a big thank you to all of you for tuning into Women Worldwide. Well, like I always say, keep the conversations going and the feedback coming. And you know where to find me. I am on Twitter at Dee Breckenridge, and I'm always, always on LinkedIn. Okay, friends, until our next episode, stay focused, energized, and feeling empowered. Thank you.